Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and talented comedian, podcaster, and artist who hosts a classic podcast, Professor Blastoff. It was one of my first favorite podcasts, brought me into the podcast world, hosts the ongoing podcast Space Cave, draws some truly hilarious comics. His stand-up special, animation, cinematographical extravaganza, Big Nothingness, can be found at davidhunsberger.com, which was a smart place to put it, because that's his name. Please welcome to the show the brilliant, the talented David Hunsberger.
David!
Yeah!
Woo!
I want to do like a Miles off mic.
Oh!
Let's give some space. You know what I mean? Let him know. Let him know you're in a big room.
What's up, yeah. Dave? Nice to see you guys. Nice to be back.
Good to see you, man.
It's great to see you. You do look like you were in a, like, there's like a science lab / shop class vibe going on behind you. Like truly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff happening back. The pandemic, you said everyone was hanging on by a thread. I feel like in the deep stages of quarantine, just needing to like keep my hands busy to do something, I just started relentlessly organizing and I made all this crap behind me just out of free stuff. It was just stuff that was left on the curb. And I'm like, oh, I can use that. And it ended up being, it looks a little maniacal, but it's all very organized, which is nice.
Yeah, very organized.
There's a Ferrari behind him, you guys. You built a Ferrari out of spare parts.
How you build a Ferrari out of old Ray-Bans?
What's new, man? What's going on with you?
I finished the wall behind me. Organization is coming to a close. I have to get back to normal life. I'm assessing the world around us all the time, like everyone is. Some people, it never slowed down. It never changed. Other people are reacting like they got to catch up. So a lot of stop signs being run through, a lot of frantic, hurried behavior that's just baffling to watch. And I'm just sort of reintegrating and re-immersing myself in it. And you guys did one of these, all these sketches, like when we were kind of at the end of everyone still in their homes, everyone had audio games. Yeah. So I started reaching out to friends and just writing little sketches and just a way to, like, I was really sick of, let's schedule a Zoom and hang out. And I started to really hate those. But, you know, reaching out to someone and saying, do you want to do a sketch for like 15 minutes and just goof around and really not even catch up? Just start up the Zoom. They go, how's this sound? I go, that's good. Then we do the script. I'm like, how's life? Good. Oh, yeah, good as well. And then part company. And then maybe afterward they'd message, oh, remind me next time. I moved. I have a child. Like, okay, yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
Right.
But anyway, I did all these sketches and then I've just been like editing them and going to put them out into the world. But that's what I've been up to, really. Yeah.
Nice, man. That sounds like a very productive way to channel the pandemic and post-pandemic or still mid-pandemic anxiety.
I think so. And I think it was like the opposite of, maybe we get this through behind the scenes things of like how shows are made, where you see like production offices and there's like dry erase boards or post-it notes everywhere. And people are like planning, how are we going to make this thing? And then they start, and then they sit down and you have to open up some sort of software and like, okay, interior, apartment, day. Then you like after you've planned it all out, then you have to write it. I just kind of started writing all this stuff and just checking in with my friends just to say hi to everybody. And then after I had all these like dozens of sketches, like what am I going to do with that? So it's sort of the opposite. It came from like a good place. And then I had to be like, oh yeah, what would a normal person do here with all of this?
Yeah. Yeah, we were in one of the sketches. It was a blast. But yeah, no punctuation. You didn't even have character names. It was just a block, a solid block of text. And you just kind of had to work it out for yourself.
You're the full underscore. I kept having to remind you. Just like 50 underscores. That's you. That's your character. I don't know the letters. I don't know the keys on a keyboard.
Yeah. I also feel like you're right that it's affected the way people are driving. I feel like I hear, you know, an average of 8 peel outs. Like in my neighborhood, like on a regular basis, like in the middle of the day at a time that really nobody's drag racing. Maybe I'm not up on the drag racing scene, but it feels like a Sunday morning at 10:30 might not be the ideal time, but people are peeling out. People are driving hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It is weird to watch. I don't know if it's good to be kind of aware of what paradigm you're in or to just do it, like just to be balls to the wall, like cutting through traffic, going to work, chugging coffee, going to doing your hobbies and your activities, meeting up with friends, laughing, just living life so fast. If you're outside of that watching it, you're like, what changed? What is, no one seems to be handling this well.
Right.
Yeah. That is a good description of how I live my life. So I get it. Yeah. You know, just rushing out. You know, weekends are for the boys, as Miles and I always talk about.
Yeah, man. Just
playing some tackle football without pads in the park.
Could you imagine, dude?
Crushing bruise.
Oh, you don't even discuss the idea of two-hand touch or flags.
Fucking just separate your shoulder in a public park.
Only one flag we respect.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What is something from your search history?
The last thing I looked up was famous people from Lubbock because I was born there and my Uber driver was like, Jimmy Fox from there. And we found out he was from Terrell, Texas, which is 6.5 hours away. But you know who was from Lubbock? Buddy Holly. Buddy Holly was from Lubbock. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Soon to be you on there, you think? You'll be on that name of notable.
Yeah.
What do you call someone from Lubbock? A Lubbockian?
That's got to be
a Lubbocker.
That has to be. There's no other choice.
It's got
to
be Lubbockian. And if Lubbockian. It's not, Lubbockian. Lubbock, get at us. We have some notes for you.
We got to keep Lubbock. It
Lubbock. Yeah. Let's keep it Lubbock over here.
Myself.
Oh, a Lubbockite.
Lubbockite.
They always go with ite. That's like boring.
Lubbockian sounds
cool. Yeah.
It's like swashbucklery. Anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, so how long were you in Lubbock before you...
I was my around. Parents lived there for a long time, but I was 3.5, almost 4 when we moved to Utah.
Got you.
Yeah. But we go back. We have like family and family friends there, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So it's still still something you visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have family there. Like, I have a similar relationship to Philadelphia where, like, my whole family's from there, but I don't have any, like, formative memories there. But I think just through osmosis, I get a lot of,
yeah, like, that culture. I have that. I do have, like, some of my first memories there, so I do have, like, that a little bit. But, right. Yeah, some of it's, like, just going back and hanging out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What is your first... Okay, I hate to just kind of go there with it like a stone thought, but... Can you actually think back to what your first memory is?
Yeah. So my first not moving memory, just like an image, my parents, I think this is what it is from my parents' stories, but it's like me alone and I'm seeing like a wall of like fluorescent flashing lights. And I think it's from when my dad and my uncle like changed my diaper at the mall and they both left me because they thought I was going with the other one. And then I got lost in the mall when I was 2 years old.
Damn.
Like some lady,
you went on a big baby genius adventure.
It was
sure.
Like night at the museum, but at the mall.
Right.
No, some lady. My mom was like, "Oh yeah, some lady, like white lady, like found you, and she saw that we looked the same because we had like similar like noses, and they saw like whatever." And I was like, "Are you just saying that lady was racist, mom?" And that's how that's how I was saved by racism.
That's wild. I think it's so funny that my. One of the most vivid first memories I have is being lost in Central Park.
Ooh, that's a big park.
My dad was with me and then he turned around, but I just took off like at 3 or something.
Oh my God.
And my memory is of me just crying in Central Park and like a cop comes up to me and I was like, "Yo, don't fucking touch me, bro." Hey, cat.
But 3?
Yeah, 3. I was with the shits. No, but the guy was like, "Hey, yeah, like, what's going on?" I was like, "I don't know where my dad is." And at the time, this is the first time they said, "What does he look like?" I had no concept of race. So
oh
I was
God.
Like, and I pointed at another black dude. I was like, "He's like him." And they're like, "All right, we got a black man."
Oh, no.
And they brought a guy first. Another black dude lost his kid. The guy was like, "Nah, this ain't my son."
The guy was like, "I'm not taking this kid home."
Yeah. And then my dad came. He was like, "Oh, shit." He's like, "Yo, I thought..."
How many men are wandering around malls and parks losing their children?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's. I think it makes sense that that's like my first like real vivid
memory. Yeah, because you were scared, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, I don't have any fear associated with it. I was just like window shopping. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Where you're like walking. Yeah. Yeah. It's like the beginning of Saturday Night Fever.
This is why I'm a huge advocate for kid leashes. I'm totally right. for it. I'm like, hell yeah, dude, put them on a leash. You know
and
what I mean?
And a choke collar, too, to make sure that they stop pulling on that shit.
Little
you know?
Muzzle so they stop eating everything.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Stop eating that.
I just got to say, though, I mean, racism and the NYPD were the heroes of those two first memory stories. Yeah.
Hey, it was a different time,
man. But that's what
man.
They want you to think.
It's a different time. Exactly.
That was propaganda.
I think that,
our vital memories were propaganda. Yeah.
You know what? All this reminiscing is reminding me of a little song that goes, "Look at this photograph."
Oh my God.
It was probably taken by Miles's dad.
Probably. Yeah, probably like, "This is my son. Have you seen him? He's in this photograph."
I'm actually a good dad, for real.
Well, my first memory is just boring, but it's Wheeling, West Virginia. And I just went back to the home where I had my first memory over the summer.
Oh, for real?
And it was cool. What's something you think is overrated?
I think, you know, I hate to say this, and I know it's going to come, you know, I'm dropping a bombshell here, but fucking Kanye. Overrated.
Kanye is overrated.
I think, can we all admit now that, like, Graduation was not that good? And the College Dropout, fine.
Like, College Dropout is the one album I'm like, that's his good album.
Right. Yeah, sure. That's the one that is like, okay, there's, yeah, good album. What was that, 2008?
2003, I think.
2003?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, let's...
18 years ago.
Can we stop? Like, all Kanye did was release one good album and be like, "I am God," for like 2 decades. And now people are finally just like, "Wait, he's insane."
Right.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he's overrated. His music's not that good. And honestly, you know, the anti-Semitism, that we all saw that coming a mile away. We all knew he was going to be anti-Jew. Everyone knew. It was like, listen, this guy... He has been going off the deep end for a while. He's been wearing a MAGA hat and shit. We all knew it. I was like, he is 3 days away from reading Mein Kampf and being like, oh, this is new to me.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Y'all seen this?
Yeah. There's nothing more annoying than anti-Semitism for the obvious reasons, but also because everyone who gets anti-Semitic thinks they're the first person to see The Matrix.
Right.
They're like, did you know that the Jews actually like run the media and stuff? Have you ever heard that? And it's like, yeah, it's really old. It's been around for like ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been debunked 1,000 times and is a stupid thing to say out loud. And they're like, yeah, well, you don't want me to say it because fucking. Because
you know, dude.
Because you know it's true.
Then you'll get like blasted off the air.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, hey, if you want to see who is in power, see who you cannot criticize. It's like, yeah, like kids with leukemia.
The most powerful.
The most powerful people. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Dying cancer kids. You can't criticize them. They run everything.
It's just wild to see how much, though, it just, you know, knowing how dangerous it was to let him out there and saying, like, just having all this shit get aired.
Yeah.
And not taking it down, whether it was Drink Champs or Tucker Carlson or Piers Morgan, being like, well, this kind of, you know, the kind of wacky shit that he's saying, anti-Semitic shit, my viewers are kind of into. And plus, it'll get some clicks. And you see immediately, again, we talked about it the other day, how that led to people on the fucking 405 putting up their like fucking Kanye was right about the Jews banners and shit like that, and Jesus. Doing Sieg Heiling it.
Yeah. And
you're like, that's why you can't have fucking people out here talking like you saying, spreading this kind of vitriolic bullshit, not challenging it, and then waiting for like Adidas to be like, and that's enough.
Yeah,
and, right there. That
we
was
have
it.
Decided that was it. That's too far. Yeah, it's very annoying, and it's even more annoying the kind of like this white supremacist like right wing news media is clearly using this for multiple purposes. Number one, because, you know, they want to show like, hey, you know, see, there are black MAGA people, and at the same time, they want to do kind of like blanket anti-black racism and paint all black men as anti-Semitic, because that's a huge part of it, especially with their like hardcore right-wing pro-Israel base, who like has no problem painting every single person of color who speaks just a little bit about Israel as, oh, well, that's just the same as Kanye. They're the same as, you know, fucking Farrakhan. Like, there's a huge amount of anti-blackness in kind of these like blanket like accusations of anti-Semitism that happen. And Kanye is he's just the perfect person for them to like point and go like, let's give this guy some airtime, because it serves all these purposes all at once. It's a grab bag of right-wing talking points.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gross. But he is anti-Semitic as fuck.
Yeah, it's absurd.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
I mean, I actually, like, I just somewhat recently finished the Earthsea books, which I had not read as a kid. I just read them as an adult, by Ursula Le Guin. And I feel like I'm so shocked that I had never really heard of her until I was an adult, because she's amazing. And I would have loved these books when I was a kid. And I feel like it's also funny because, you know, like, I feel like people's experiences with Harry Potter are getting somewhat tainted by J.K. Rowling just turning into like a hate monster these days. But like, if you feel that way, I would definitely read the Earthsea books, because first of all, I actually think they are, you know, they're a it's a bigger world. Like, it builds such a larger world in terms of like this feeling of this great fantasies, and it has the same themes, like wizards. There's like a wizard school. There's a lot of things I think that J.K. Rowling actually borrowed from these books, which normally is fine. Like, when you borrow themes or ideas from other books, that's how you write books. Like, that's how literature works. But the thing that kind of annoys me is I think that J.K. Rowling was like trying to basically say her books are better than fantasy. Like, oh, mine aren't fantasy. They're magical realism. Like, fantasy is just like fairies and unicorns. And my books are more, you know, they're more grounded than that. And it's like, dude, come on. You have like wizards and unicorns in your book. Why are you... And also just to kind of pretend like she's special or different from fantasy. It's like, no, you like pulled a lot of these themes from pre-existing fantasy books, which is fine. These authors also pulled things from even older books. Like, that's how it works. But to not acknowledge that is kind of crappy.
Ooh, this Earthsea thing sounds cool, though. Like, I was just reading the Wikipedia, and it's like the whole world is comprised of just, like, tiny islands and ocean. Which feels like a lot like what ancient Greece was like, right? Where it was mainly, like, you know, the mainland and then a bunch of little island nations all, like, going to war with each other and stuff. I've always been fascinated with that and been like, somebody should write this book that it turns out already exists. So,
did it before you were born, loser?
Yeah, turns out.
Got any more brain busters?
68, 70, and 72. That's dope, though.
Yeah, no, it's a really good series. For adults as well, I enjoyed it a lot, and I just finished it up a couple months ago.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about how we all might be living on a series of tiny islands in the not-too-distant future. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And we're starting to get some scores in. The National Assessment of Educational Progress dropped their performance review of our educational system. And it's the first one since the pandemic. And the results are not great.
Nope.
Not great.
Mm. Nope. Pretty big drops. They said a survey of fourth and eighth graders found that math scores fell in nearly every state. No state showed significant improvements in reading, and the lowest performing students saw the largest declines in achievement. And there's a lot of takes flying out there from, it wasn't really that bad that these kids, the scores dropped to, we need the teachers' unions to be absolutely obliterated because they had way too much influence in doing this, and they were wrong. They're not scientists, BS. But it is clear the performance went down, and many studies show this consistently. And sadly, it also shows that the lower income areas were the hardest hit. Again, which just causes more concern for increased inequality down the road, because these are like vital years for someone's education, especially in like subjects like math and things like that. This is from this Atlantic article. They also cite districts with fully remote instruction saw declines in test scores up to three times greater than districts that had in-person instruction for the majority of the school year. And the declines, again, were particularly stark for lower achieving and minority students.
Yeah, I mean, my experience with online school, my kids are much younger than fourth to eighth grade, but it, you know, if I were working in a job where I was not able to like be there with like have one eye on what they were doing, like that, it would have been absolutely impossible. And I think doubly so when, if they were at an age where they don't believe everything I tell them, like, you know, like what, once you get to fourth to eighth grade, like they're like, yeah, okay, like they're doing what they think they need to get away with lying, or at least I'll speak for myself. From fourth to eighth grade, I'm just doing what I think I can get away with.
Oh, yeah, I was
with
Machiavelli up in that
shit. So, like, of course, this is going to be the case.
I mean, you know, I think around the world, you know, we saw a lot of countries kept their schools open and were pointing to things that, like, the studies were showing kids weren't necessarily the biggest threat vector in terms of transmission, and kids weren't getting as seriously ill as adults. And, you know, many of the critics of the closures, like, point to this and, like, are like, but look, every other place saw, like, they knew that it was low and we still had to keep the schools closed. But school closures were mostly welcomed by parents. Like, it wasn't a huge, like, a lot of polling showed that this wasn't as divisive as an issue as it was, although many parents were talking about like how difficult it would be to manage remote learning and working remotely during the pandemic. 100%. But I don't know, like, the other thing that they also point to is especially like low income and minority parents were at a much higher rate accepting of school closures and waiting for absolute safety before putting their kids in school. Because I think just in general, I think they were seeing firsthand how much more like how brutal COVID can be while trying to earn a living in a dangerous setting. So, you know, everyone's calculus is different. I think that the one thing that should be pointed out, though, is that a lot of this isn't permanent. And Mississippi students have completely recovered in their reading scores. And a study in Ohio found that the current pace of recovery in reading would pretty much eliminate the state's learning loss. Younger elementary school kids tended to have made up ground much quicker in the last year, but older students are recovering a little more slowly. And again, in, you know, race or family income are also very predictive of, you know, what that recovery is going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, so we're in the midst of like a sprint to bounce back from this, to get the students caught up, like with all this missed learning, and people's response is the teachers have it too good. Like that's how we're going to solve this, is by not giving teachers the protections they need. It doesn't quite work out in my brain. I also think we should all have to take these tests, because I bet we're all
that's a good point.
Like, I think my math scores have also fallen since the pandemic. I think we're all spiritually and mentally fucked up still from the pandemic. I think it was bad for all of us. And yeah, we probably need to have a little bit of, I don't know, patience with ourselves. And also, yeah, I mean, the thing that I always thought when we were talking about this over the pandemic was like, yeah, but kids are like way more resilient than the rest of us, so they'll probably be okay in the long run. But
yeah, and I do feel like the mental health thing is like the X factor. You know, my friends who are teachers were like, I'm spending so much time, you know, like fourth to eighth grade, you're like starting to have existential crises, you know, be like, who am I as like someone separate from my parents? And my teacher friends were like, I'm spending so much of my time just like talking to kids about how they're doing and like regulating that because they also don't have each other and like their parents are busy. And so, yeah, I hope once they can like regain some sense of stability, it will allow for bounce back. But it's really sad.
I mean, I think that, you know, again, it was a very complex situation, especially in the early stages when we knew very little and the binary seemed to be stay alive or go to school. You know, totally, and that was basically what that was sort of what the discussion was centered around. And I mean, yeah, when you look at the data, it has to be said that school closures for those extended periods may not have been the best move, especially when you consider that like that it was widening the gap between rich and poor kids. But, you know, rather than just going all in and being like, and this is like, you know, in this Daily Beast thing, this person's like, look, when the Republicans take power, I was like, wait, hold on, what? And they're like, and I'm not for sham investigations, but they absolutely need to talk to, like, they need to get the heads of the teachers unions up there to explain what the heck is going on. I'm like, that is the, that direction, that energy is completely misdirected, in my opinion. But, you know, I think the biggest thing, too, is rather than just comparing yourselves, like, well, look what happened in these, like, in Western Europe or this place or this that place. The U.S. is not like other countries. You know, we're exceptional in some good ways and also in some terrifying fucking ways. And you look at how many people died and how little government seemed to care about the preciousness of, like, human life. That wouldn't inspire confidence in me as a teacher or someone having to work in the pandemic when the message being reflected back to me is, you will die and that's fine. And if you die, who gives a shit? Like, that's a fucked up, that's a fucked up environment to operate in. And again, union busting is not the answer here. But I think like anything, right? In America, we don't have this thing where we go through something, we learn something, and then we go back and be like, this is what we learned. And this is how it will inform future decision making. Because we just, we tend to not do that. And I think that's not a good pattern for our country because it just undermines people's faith in certain institutions when we can't be like, hey, guess what? We learned something from that fucking pandemic. Here's what we're learning. Here's what we can, how we can apply these things. But yeah, it's just hard to find the right way to navigate a fucking pandemic when half the country thinks keeping people safe is a genocide.
Right. Is it settled science that this was the wrong move to keep like schools closed and keep...
I think it's just saying when you're putting it all together that what the transmission was like in a school and what the actual like potential threat to the safety to the students was I guess for people who want to really lean into it feel is overblown. But again, I don't think it's necessarily something where I don't think it's incorrect to consider the safety of people and making the best decision based off of that. I think the bigger issue is we had so much noise coming from certain parts of our economy about getting back to normal that it completely muddied people's ability to actually look at the situation and then figure out what the best way to solve that is.
Right. And if, you know, teachers were at risk. So, I mean,
yeah, like, teachers were dying.
Teachers were dying. And like, what message, like what kind of message does that send to young, growing humans that like, we're like, yeah, but we got to keep those test scores up so that you can compete in the global economy. Like, I don't know, like even in retrospect, like knowing that the spread wasn't that bad with kids, it still was bad for like kids could spread it to teachers. And
right, we didn't know about transmission at all.
Right.
And like parents. And yeah, totally.
Yeah.
That's why I think, you know, again, it's just more about seeing that other countries are doing it. And I guess looking at those results that people are immediately just like, well fuck. And the fucking scores went down. But again, I don't think a lot of the criticisms are necessarily that genuine because like the underpinnings of it typically end up on some version of like, well, teachers unions have too much power or like some other weird end goal, which isn't necessarily the health and safety of every person in the country. It's more like, look what it did to business. Look what it did to that. And then like it's weird. This one op-ed in the Daily Beast is truly being like, well, you know, good luck, liberals. You just gave all the people who are like school choice advocates all the ammo they need.
Right.
So like this, I think this study is being weaponized in some ways, and other people are just sort of objectively being like, yeah, the score has dipped. They're tending to recover. Here are some, this was the fallout of it. But again, I think more than like what happened here with the school closures, the biggest indictment is more about how generally as a country we fucking handled the pandemic. And
yeah,
getting focused on this, I think, give like sort of excuses every other failure.
And maybe you have to like have more protections in place when you don't have a functional healthcare system, you know? Like maybe like the people who have a union looking out for them are going to be a little bit more cautious when they know that if they do get COVID and have to go to the hospital, it could bankrupt them.
Yeah.
Like that. That.
What about that?
Right.
Maybe. So maybe this is a good argument.
Or even for the people unions. Who are like, well, you know, adults are the ones that are going to get sick. Well, then why are the fucking bars open?
Right. Yeah. Those bounce back.
If you're fucking that concerned, then up like be consistent with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like rather than being like, oh, it's just going to be adults. Also, why isn't Chili's open? Like, huh? That doesn't paint right. You as like
again, someone it comes who's really, back to yeah.
Yeah.
It comes back to the bias against anything that's not profitable, and schools are not profitable in the short term. Yeah.
And I think that's what's kind of wild is just to see people's response to this shows like as a country, like we're completely losing our grip on being humane.
Yes.
You know, like this woman was arrested in Arizona recently because she was feeding the needy in a park, and the laws don't allow you to serve food in a charitable nature. Like we're criminalizing shit like that. And also having like these wild takes where they're like, the teachers unions have way too much power because teachers were dying and they were looking out for the workers involved in this union. But just using like these scores to sort of completely say that this is a failure. And if they want better wages, well, the unions really screwed them over because now they look like they don't know what they're doing.
Right. It was a difficult situation. You know, the teachers, like we got the results we got, and it's just America's not great at dealing with difficult situations, it would seem, at this point in our evolution.
Also, any sort of like woulda, coulda, shoulda about COVID feels ridiculous to be like, right. We shouldn't have been wiping down surfaces. That didn't do anything. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, and all those times they were like, don't wear a mask. You know what I mean? We were throwing spaghetti at the wall. We had no idea. Like, yeah, there's a lot of things we should have done. A lot of things we should have done differently. I don't know.
It's funny in retrospect that I was disinfecting my Cheerios boxes when I got them home from the grocery store, but I'm also like not calling for the heads of the people who suggested that it could be spread by, you know,
right.
particles on Cheerio boxes because we just didn't know and everyone was freaking out, understandably.
Right.
And it did kill a million people.
Yes. Yeah.
And again, right. Try operating in good faith, like in what's the best interest for your own health or your community's health when you have millions of people who will just be like, why are you wearing a mask? Why are you doing this? Let me get in your shit. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, I think for people who want to make a really easy comparison, it's like, well, they didn't do that in like South Korea or whatever. It's like,
right.
we're not dealing with the same shit.
Right.
Also, in South Korea, the government was like bringing people food to be like, hey, we know you're locked up. Here's a fucking care package because we know you have to eat because we understand that as, you know, just a concept right. rather than our version, which is like, hey, salute the people whose only financial recourse is to go buy groceries for people with more money.
Right. All right. Let's move on to maybe the police are a bad fucking idea, part two.
Wow.
Just a recurring segment we have. So a couple weeks back, the Edmonton police released a composite of a suspect in a 2019 sexual assault, a black male, who, judging from the image, presumably escaped on the Polar Express because the image they released makes him look 12 years old.
No,
and uncanny, like it's not a person, like it, like you say, like Polar Express. You're like, are you a computer animated character?
Yeah, it's a computer animated 12 year old.
What?
Yes, and so what they did was they used DNA phenotyping, which is the process of predicting a physical appearance and ancestry from unidentified DNA evidence. This is not a set. There is not a settled science around this.
Oh my God.
The cops bought the composite from a company called Paraben Nanolabs, which sounds very official. They routinely provide this service to law enforcement. And the Edmonton police claim this tactic was taken because the public needs to get this person off the streets, even though they admitted that the composite was not 100% accurate. Turns out massive understatement. Less than a week later, the Edmonton police issued an apology over the use of DNA phenotyping after a massive backlash for its broad characterization of just a black man. Again, could be a black child, which experts expressed concern would lead to mass surveillance of any black man approximately 5'4".
Oh my God. DNA phenotyping sounds like phrenology or something. Yeah. Like arcane. That is wild.
Especially to couple of that with like, and this is who did it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The face is so specific, but it's like a police sketch. But it's not, it's based on kind of less than a police sketch, which
racist
police sketches
AI.
Are already, you know, very, very problematic. But one geneticist called the, quote, science of extracting facial profiles from DNA, quote, dangerous snake oil, while one taxpayer complained the government is wasting money on racist astrology for cops.
Which... Oh my God. Yes, 100%.
Well,
you know, we always hear that the problem with algorithms is human bias, and this is like the visual manifestation of like
100%.
Using science to dress up human bias. That's so scary. That's to be like, "Oh, it heritage and history to manufacture it."
Also gives DNA evidence a bad name by being and from this DNA, we will conjure this image of like a composite that a computer made. But yeah, the company that provides the service, Paraben, also does DNA matching. But this specific service is called Snapshot, was first released in 2014. And a lot of people in the field of DNA research were skeptical of Snapshot and continue to be. For one thing, the company's science has yet to be published in any peer-reviewed literature. So that's one of those things that like we generally look for in our science.
Makes me wonder how they came up with the name Snapshot. It sounds too like cute and ineffective. You know, it's like Snapchat or like a snap judge. It's like, that's not...
Right.
You weren't even trying.
Right. Snapshot.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Hey, this will take off. Yeah.
Yeah. It does feel focus grouped.
Yes.
Like it feels
exactly.
like it came out of like Mattel, like Mattel's like focus grouping, like for coming up with the name of like a Snapshot Barbie is our new.
Or like a like, fucked up kid's toy. It's like put two drops of blood in the receptacle container, wait 15 minutes, and then it'll reveal your new image like with Snapshot.
Like, that's the BuzzFeed personality test of the future.
Right.
Totally. In like Gattaca world, we'll just
give
be
us
dropping
your blood,
our blood
and we'll figure it out.
Yeah. See what Looney Tunes character we are by dropping our blood into a vial.
Oh my God, I could totally see a version.
Don't even answer questions anymore.
a version of the future where, like, you know, the 23andMe goes down a path where you're like spit in a cup and then like they do all sorts of fun, like personality tests.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff like that.
It's like, have you tried a balayage design, like hair dye job? Like that would really look good for you. Like what? I'm
given
bald.
Your ancestry, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't have hair. You're looking at me. You're telling me I should get balayage? What the fuck you mean?
Right. But there's basically no way to know how they're accomplishing what they say they are. Their response to the criticism is, we're not in the business to write papers. The results speak for themselves.
So the results are fucked up, my man.
Yeah, and they're bad. A geneticist whose work Paraben admits they partly base their technique on suspects that Paraben is just generating a bunch of generic faces and then using the DNA info to tweak these faces and fill in the blanks.
It's Theranos. Oh my God.
Yeah, it really is very similar to Theranos. Wasn't that kind of what they did with
Yeah. Wait, now it's kind of delicious.
You're doing.
I'm like ready. This is like the takedown is making itself.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So that would explain why the composite looks so broad and just,
Land that you say that, it really does feel like a create a player function in a sports game.
It does.
When it's like, here are the 17, like eight faces you can then fuck if you can fuck with from there.
Right.
Because this one, like, how, like, it's a, like, this fucking mugshot looks like a fucking 13-year-old, 12-year-old.
Well, that's so this is what's wild, okay? So from the DNA testing that they're doing, they can't even determine a person's age using right. DNA.
Oh
so
God.
They chose the age of, you know, right. 13, 14. And like, that's a point that we discussed recently, like
yeah.
with regards to the LA City Council's like racist comments. It's interesting that they chose to spread a picture of a black child when they couldn't possibly know the age. Like the mm-hmm. othering and targeting of black children is like real. And it's a cultural sickness that I feel like comes from the dissonance that occurs in the brain of a person whose cultural conditioning tells them to be racist against black people, but whose humanity tells them that these are fucking children. And to like, to help smooth over that dissonance, they like grasp for anything they can to like find something that others black children like
right
the science because, of it right
yeah like it, and yeah I don't know the in terms of skin color one expert estimated the scientists would only be able to predict someone's skin color using DNA with 25% accuracy.
Wow, they went in on his complexion too.
yeah
so, but this is in Canada, right?
Yeah, this is in Canada, but this is also so the cops in Edmonton apologized for using the tech. It doesn't mean they'll necessarily stop. And in 2020, the NYPD announced that they'd no longer use Snapshot in their investigations. But then more than a year later, it turned out that they had maintained a relationship with the company. So.
I knew I was like, I had a sinking feeling. Like, I was like, cool, this is going to, cool, you're cool, going to cool. hear
Where's
that.
Where's the NYPD and all this?
Cool. Like some American, yeah. Police unit is going to be like, all right, we got this like new technology. Seems pretty legit.
I'll play this. This was from 5 years ago. This is from a local news broadcast in Denver when they're like heralding the arrival of DNA phenotyping.
New at 10, putting a face on crime. What if you could see what a suspect looks like just from the DNA left behind?
So it sounds like sci-fi, but Aurora Police are some of the first in the country to use this cutting-edge technology to try to catch the bad guys. But Denver 7's Jacqueline Allen found some question whether the science is ready.
Private companies say they can use your DNA to make predictions about what you look like, your skin color, eye color, painting a digital picture of your face. But some researchers are concerned about how accurate that is. So we tried it ourselves.
So they go on. But again, like the binary here is like, new technology to catch the bad guys.
Bad guys, yeah.
But
exactly.
then they
got to
level that off.
Exactly.
Like, and some people who actually know what the fuck they're talking about are like, not so fucking quick.
Right. Yeah.
It just shows again, like it's this always, there's always like the side that's like, yes, spend more money so I have to do less work to actually catch somebody. Like, hey, buddy, your face looks like this racist fucking AI algorithm face. So it was you.
Right.
Or they'll actually have to use DNA to match that. But and then on the other side of just people trying to say this is fucking dangerous. It's pseudoscience.
Yeah. I mean, just think about who has like these companies are like when you read the history of these companies, they get like hundreds of millions of dollars of cash infusions from, you know, venture capital firms. And where is the money on the other side of that? You know, who's mm-hmm. balancing that out by looking out for people who are getting wrongly convicted? It's like public defenders and shit, you know, like
right.
people who are, you know, not making any money. And then, you know, also it would be interesting to look at the sourcing of that local news story because they got to try it out themselves, like a fun little like party game. So they obviously did that story with the cooperation of the DNA evidence like company that they were reporting on. So
also just the political ramifications of like circulating pictures of people I was just thinking, I like met someone recently who was like, oh yeah, I really hope Donald Trump runs again. I don't really agree with him on anything but like crime. We have to close the border. You know, he's like, these illegals, they're like causing, he's like, what did he say? He was like, my wife got mugged the other day. I was like, how do you know it was an illegal immigrant? And he was like, you don't, and this guy was an immigrant, you know? He was like, right. you don't know it wasn't an illegal immigrant. You know, it just plays right. into like this larger political paranoia that we're so So it's like, for some people, it's their number one voting issue above everything else. Yeah. Is like, am I safe? Is my family safe against like these other people? So that's so to imagine just like more imagery, more faces,
right?
More images put up on TV of like, this is maybe probably a danger. People with this like, ethnic background, like that's terrifying.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, people are definitely going through mean world syndrome of just having that just put right back in their face. And, you know, we talked about the proliferation of like Ring cameras and home surveillance and all this other stuff. And like the fucking Nextdoor app and shit like that just feeds and feeds and feeds your like if your cognitive bias is aimed towards. What the fuck's going on out there? Everything's so fucking unsafe. There's no shortage of ways to fucking freak yourself out. There's no fucking, like, you could turn on any fucking channel, look at any app, whatever. There's something to reinforce that. And yeah, it's becoming a really effective tool. And it's the entire, it's one of the biggest things Republicans are running on now, which is like, crime wave, that's not there.
Right. Yeah, there's money in the fear. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about menswear.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And yay, so are the Teletubbies. Thank God. So I was like you, Miles, that when the first wave of Teletubbies hit, I was too old to give a shit and, like, you know, too far away from having children to even, like, conceive of ever giving a shit about this sort of thing.
Right.
But it was this big media, like, the place it did cross my radar was a media panic about whether it was, like, instituting evil, satanic, or, you know, queer ideology into babies. Like, this is a show. So I've like, as
straight
part
into
of
your
this,
baby's mind.
Yeah. This is a show that, like, this is our writer, JM, put this story together, you know, did a lot of awesome research. And I watched Teletubbies footage for the first time. And it is very strange. Have you guys watched any of this footage or seen
yeah,
what
I remember
the show
when
is?
It came out, I remember being just because I was like, fine, what is it? And I remember being like, oh, this is like for babies. Because like they're right. not even using words.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like this is like all vibes.
Yeah, it's all just rolling hills, a sun that has a baby's face inside of it.
Giggling.
And so that's what it was originally. So one controversy with a new one, we'll just get into that because this is probably the news hook you'll see, is that the redesign. You know, the same way that like Star Wars fans will like don't want anything changed. They just want you to release the same movie again,
yeah.
I guess. This Teletubbies update, people are mad because instead of being inside a cartoon sun, the baby's head is just floating out in space, okay. like out in the sky. And then there are sunbeams behind the baby's head. And people are like, that's weird.
That's
on
weird.
The other hand, the original the original design also extremely strange. So I'm not sure I can like fully understand any complaints.
Is that an
about,
actual
like,
criticism where people are like, it's not in a sun, it's not in a radiating sunbeam.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. But yeah, that is apparently a complaint okay. that some people have had. They just dropped the first trailer last week. So we'll see if yeah. this has any legs.
What do you call like the ultra fans, like the ultras for Teletubbies? Is there like
tubbos?
A crew of them? Yeah, tubbos, tubbers,
yeah.
tellies, tubies, yeah. tubberinos.
Yeah, but there's like a People article that was like, reboot looks mostly unchanged in design. But some fans have been left raging at one major difference, and it's just that the baby's head.
One fan, me. Some right. fans, me, and muttering under my breath when I first saw it.
But it is such a strange universe they've created, and it seems very psychedelic, which kind of makes sense because, like, a lot of the understanding or, you know, at least theories on like what psychedelics do for people's minds is they like remove all the doors or like, you know, different filters we've built up over life just to like be able to get through day-to-day life. So, you know, be able to focus on something boring, and psychedelics like allow you to peel those back. So you're just at a place where there's like none of these filters and everything's coming in kind of unfiltered. And that would seem to be like how a baby would perceive the world. And when you spend time with babies, you do also have that thought. You're like, oh man, they seem like they're tripping. Like the stuff that they're interested in, like they're just like, the plants are growing. The grass is moving. How do my bones move me? Is the trippiest question one of my kids asked me that I can remember, but that's just like par for the course. They're constantly saying shit where you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But I think just generally it makes people uncomfortable because there is like a logic there that resonates with their inner child or their inner baby. I guess inner baby is completely different from inner child. And that's like the thing that Teletubbies does that other media for children doesn't do, is it actually seems to create a world specifically for babies using baby logic. Actually, right. this story made me like go and Google just have people watched Teletubbies while tripping and like what was their experience like? And I will say I can't recommend it for everyone based on the, like, some one person who's like diehard was like, love watching the Teletubbies when tripping. This is a direct quote from a mushroom enthusiast forum. I taped them in the morning to see what it would be like to watch them while on shrooms, and it was the coolest. They are cute and everything in the show is super colorful. Can't watch them without laughing my ass off. It'll bring the child out in you. I guarantee it. But then, like, some of the responses to this were like, this is, do not listen to this person. Like, when I watched it, I saw, like, demons in the sun baby. I swear it, like, the sun baby, as it's about to dissolve into sunlight, turns into a demon for a split second. This person was like, big tip, if someone's having a bad trip, turn on the lights, put on a Teletubby tape, and set the person who is sad, mad, scared, whatever, in front of the TV and give them a blanket or a pillow. I don't think that's good advice necessarily. You could try it, but
I mean, they might attack
your television.
I like that we're finally doing real research into psilocybin and baby vibes as a way to heal people. But I also like the idea of Teletubbies, like, as this, like, Rorschach test of, like, dude, watch it, and you're either going to be like, this is fucking crazy, I can't handle it,
right?
Or you're like, oh, this is, like, some dumbass baby shit, but I get it, like, because you're like, ah, I'm baby, you know what
right.
I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. But I mean, like, just random controversies are pretty par for the course. Like we said, there's backlash from parents who thought the show was dangerous nonsense. Others pointed out it was dumbing down. The simplicity was, like, damaging. Well, you know, education experts said the simplicity was exactly the point. There's, like, constant repetition. Some people were like, the plots are just crap. There's no sense of place. The camera placement doesn't make any sense. It's like, yeah,
Like, the fucking characters are called, like, Inky Winky and, like, Poppy Lulu. Like,
right.
And you're like, I don't know. I mean, the mise-en-scene. Like, huh? Come on.
And then they try and get real for one episode, like the one where they had a bear come into Teletubby land. And it was, like, outlawed in various countries, censored by the BBC because it was too scary. I watched, like, 5 minutes of it. It's truly, it's actually not as creepy as, like, a lot of the commentary makes it seem. Like, the bear, I think I might have seen the one that was, like, post some editorial changes, but the bear right. just, like, talks with a silly, like, I'm a bear and I'm here to eat whatever I want. And, you know, it still has the sunshiny vibes. There is a voice that repeatedly tells them to, like, run and hide from the bear, which is dark here. I think we're going to play a little segment.
The bear is this, like, two-dimensional cardboard.
Yeah. I'm the bear with brown fuzzy hair.
Scary.
Okay, Jack, we gotta knock this shit off. It's fucking crazy. No.
It's really...
I like that it's posted by NASCAR fan 2048.
Yeah,
that's who's like posted NASCAR, this YouTube video.
I caught up some Teletubby stuff from time to time. It says this is custom made. So maybe this isn't like pure Teletubby.
He's like, look, man, I'm in a NASCAR and freedom also extends to the media where I will upload the unedited Lion and Bear Teletubbies episode.
The red band trailer.
So this is not very... Yeah. Okay.
I'm looking over there.
Because it has like a dark voice.
Can you see it?
That's the noise that the bear makes.
Okay,
I guess the lion is chasing the bear. So they're children are learning about the kill or be killed world of
I don't know. Okay, fine. I remember the thing with Jerry Falwell was because the one was purple and had the triangle like thing on their head. They're like, you see?
Right.
I study gay semiotics. I know about this stuff.
Right. And that was the big thing. That there's a character, I think it's Tinky Winky, who wears a tutu and carries a purse and is a boy
gender fluid
and tubbies? Because it was the 90s, instead of being like, there's nothing wrong with that. They were right. Like, what? You're wrong.
It's a bag.
Yeah, it's a bag. Who gives
it? Holds like, bag. Like, right. It holds bag.
So I don't know. Like I can see this being a thing for the right to come back with when they're already, you know, responding to, like, I think when we see a cultural reboot that was like something that was popular in the 90s, and then it comes back in basically the same form in our modern world. Like we saw this recently with Hocus Pocus, where a mom was like, and there was a witch on my TV, you're and like Satan, that is satanic. And yeah, it's like, oh, we've moved backwards. This is like we're regressing culturally. So yeah, this is just another one where I would be on the lookout for another example of the right finding a way to freak out about this.
I think it really is like in this way, it does say something about your subconscious, where if you're sat in front of a piece of media that doesn't have like an overt structure or narrative, that you begin to fill the gaps with the weirdest shit.
Right.
Really? We're going with, oh no, I know what they're trying to tell a baby through this thing now, is just really, I don't know, telling of whether like how like much our intellects have just gone in the gutter, where people don't even know how to just sit in that and be like, huh, I don't know what that was. Okay, fine. Or be like, I hate when it's quiet. I don't like to be with my thoughts. So a TV show, which is the equivalent of being with my thoughts, is not the kind of place I want to be. Therefore, I can project all this other weird nonsense into it.
Yeah.
Hard to know.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely weird, but so are the minds of babies, and like all programming directed at babies is like the Blue's Clues. Is that the one where they just like turn to the camera and they're like, what do you think? And then sit there and wait for you to answer. Like, that's very strange. That is an uncanny experience that like would be just as easy to be, you know, to be like, they're demonstrating, you know, that they are autonomous slaves to the Illuminati because they're just, there's long periods of silence that make me feel uncomfortable. So I think into this culture that we find ourselves dealing with, there's going to be overreactions from a right that is going further and further, just spinning further and further away from the planet and any sort of gravitational force of reality. And this feels like just pay dirt for them. So it'll be interesting to see. But
my familiarity with content, especially produced material on television, is that it has to go through like a lot of, you know, yeses. You got, and then even beyond like pitching it to a room, you might have a writer's room of, if something is birthed out of cable access, right? Like, yeah, me and my friends had these weird costumes. We got them when we were traveling abroad and we started filming ourselves just making baby sounds. And someone picked that up. You're like, oh, that was the beginning of Teletubbies? That would make sense, as opposed to like someone going into a room,
right,
opening a briefcase and like setting out stuff. Here's what I'm thinking. And the people just sitting there like, I'm trying to follow you. I appreciate you pitching to us, but go through it again. So I wear this suit. My friend wears this one. We make these sounds. It's like a star child baby thing. We've studied babies.
Right.
Who says yes on that? Or are they just like, yeah, I mean, that's our network. We just try anything. Go for it.
Someone in Europe. That is definitely where that happens. Not in the United States.
But I think people that have like extreme dogmas are like, no, this was, yeah, like the Illuminati purposefully putting together all these ingredients.
It's like, when the Aquabats fell apart as a ska band, they knew that was a setup move for Yo Gabba Gabba. Like, what? Fucking just the ska wave crested, and then they found themselves in a good position.
But I was curious if, like, I was going to be able to find somebody who, like, tripped and watched Teletubbies with, like, baby mindset, and they were like, Yeah, it's actually just like very straightforward, and it feels like you're just watching a PowerPoint presentation. This all makes total sense if you are in a baby's mind. It's like very clear lessons.
And I'm sorry. And how would you know how you would be inside of a baby's mind?
Oh, I was on a significant amount of LSD.
Oh, okay. It wasn't doing anything satanic.
Success has such a strange affect on people years later at a lunch, you know, with that just... I've made it kind of, well, look, that's cute you think that, but when I was making tubbies, see, right. the thing about a great pitch, and I know I learned this on Tubbies.
Right.
There's someone that had that, like, stacks of money from Teletubbies. Such a dick.
Calling Tinky Winky Wink, because, like, they have to come up with a nickname that makes it clear that T-Dub, they're, like, friendly with them.
My friend Tony played T-Dub the first 2 years, and what a diva. Couldn't get him in the costume. We threw money at him. Throw money at every problem. That's how he saw it. That's a story about Teletubbies. I can go out all day.
That's right.
Shit.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.